You're listening to the Packernet Podcast Network.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Packernet Podcast. I am your guest host once again, JJ Leahy, filling in once again for Ryan, the Pack Daddy. Check us out online at packernet.com and find me on Twitter at JJ Leahy. This is going to be a short one today because I have to be awake again in about a little over 5 hours, and I don't operate so great on that little amount of sleep. Today's episode is once again sponsored by The Bearded Buck, a fantastic Wisconsin-based company. We're going to pick up where we left off yesterday with a question from Robert on Facebook, who asks, what's the biggest difference we should expect with the defensive coordinator change? That's a fantastic question. It's one I have asked a bunch of times. It's one a bunch of people have asked a bunch of times, including smarter people than me. And the problem is we don't really know, because we don't know for sure how Joe Barry's going to run this defense. He's been a defensive coordinator twice in Detroit and Washington, and he ran a lot of cover one and cover three. He actually ran cover three about 43% of the time. In your traditional cover three, you got three defensive backs deep. Usually two of those are going to be outside corners, and then you have, four linebackers in the middle? However, I keep hearing that Barry really liked and still does like running a three-high safety look. That would mean a change since we really only have two premier safeties on the team. So you're going to look at probably Will Redmond, I would guess, is the next man up. Maybe Vernon Scott. You also have Henry Black in that room as well. I feel like I'm missing somebody. No? Well, we got Christian Uphoff and Innis Gaines. Will Redmond, I think, is probably going to get the first look at that third safety, and I'm not thrilled about that because we just haven't seen the greatest performances out of Will Redmond. I like him as a depth guy. I wouldn't love him as safety three. He did run a 4.38, which is very fast, but I think Will Redmond is the shortest corner we have. I mean, safety, not quarter. I guess, Darnell's not a tall guy either. They're both 5'11". Innis Gaines is 6'1". Henry Black is 6 foot. So is Adrian Amos. So, I don't know. His 2018 rookie season, he graded out at a 66.3, which is decent. Since then, he has been low 50s every year. Henry Black runs a 4.54. He is 6 foot, 200 pounds. Vernon Scott has a better relative athletic score than most of the other guys. He played some quality snaps for us last year, but PFF really did not like him. They gave him a 42 in run defense. His pass rush grade is 81.6, but when safeties rush the passer, it's always on a blitz. You would expect them to have a good pass rushing grade. Darnell's pass rushing grade is similar at 79.9, and Adrian Amos is... his is actually like his only not great grade is 66.4. His overall is at 89.4. His coverage grade is a 91.5, but his pass rush grade is just 66.4. I mean, you'll live with it, I guess, but it's interesting that that's one of his, not one of his strengths. I do expect to see Preston continue to get used, and those outside linebackers are going to be dropping into coverage. So you are going to see, Preston covering tight ends and running backs. That is a thing that's going to continue to happen. I think the overall philosophy of the defense is going to be pretty similar to what it was. Here's defensive tackle Ricky Jean-Francois, who did play with Barry back in the day. He says, Joe Barry's not going to be trying to be the more aggressive dude. He's only aggressive when he needs to be. But at the same time, his one biggest thing is he wants his front four to get pressure. That was the biggest thing he emphasized. If he's got DBs in the back end covering, he wants to be able to send that front four and drop seven. That's every defensive coordinator's dream to do, but I want that dream to come true for him. Now, it's worth noting, since he was last a defensive coordinator, he did coach under Wade Phillips, who's extremely aggressive. LA, like, perennially has great linebackers, and you look at the production that like Corey Littleton was getting under Joe Barry, and we got to see when Corey Littleton went over to Las Vegas instead, he was horrible. Barry got his start in Tampa. He actually, you know, grew up in the Tampa 2 system. By all accounts, Barry still has not really strayed from that. And if you're not familiar with Tampa 2, a major emphasis of Tampa 2 as a defensive mindset is there is a premium on speed. You want really speedy players. And I think that was pretty well reflected in what we saw in selecting Eric Stokes with the first pick this year. The linebackers, you got typically three linebackers, two corners, and two safeties. It sounds like we're going to be seeing more of like a three high safety look, or maybe two safeties, but then another safety up in the box, and two linebackers. That's going to be a thing we're going to talk about in a second here. They need to be blazing fast, and that applies to the linebackers as well. You need those freakishly athletic linebackers in this kind of defense, which is, I think, one of the big reasons why Zaven Collins was so attractive to Packer fans leading up to the draft. There was already an understanding that you kind of need that kind of linebacker. We do actually have a couple guys on the roster who fit that description. One of them is Devondre Campbell, who we just picked up, and I think I talked about him yesterday. Maybe it was the day before. On this show, I think it was yesterday. Very, very athletic. I mentioned that PFF is not a fan of what he has done in the past, and he has not been a super productive linebacker. However, because of his athleticism, the scouts that Bill Huber talked to pointed out that Arizona and Atlanta were both putting him in kind of no-win situations, matching him up against really, really talented players in coverage because he had the athleticism to hang with them. My hope is that we're not going to see Joe Barry using Devondre Campbell so much in coverage like that. But where he's really going to shine is in that sideline to sideline, running back and forth, you know, sealing off the edge with some help from whoever's going to be playing the star defensive back, that nickel DB, which sounds like it's going to be Channon Sullivan. This is all very bad news for Chris Barnes. Chris Barnes is not a super athletic guy. It's why he went undrafted. He's a very smart player, very cerebral. Came in his rookie season and really owned that role and captained the defense in an admirable way. Physically, I don't think Chris Barnes is up to the task of playing linebacker in the way that this style of defense typically calls for. We have another guy who is also a freak athlete at the position, and that is Oren Burks. What is this, year number four for Oren Burks? Can he finally turn it around? I say no, I don't think he can at this point. He's like everything that Chris Barnes isn't. If you put Chris Barnes' brain and Oren Burks' body together, you'd have like one of the greatest linebackers in the league. Instead, we are left trying to figure out if we can use either one of them in this new defense, and the answer might be no. I'm sure they're still going to find roles for Chris Barnes on defense, but the more I have been reading up and looking into what we can expect from Joe Barry's defense because of this question that we got on Facebook, I really am leaning way more heavily in favor of Devondre Campbell might be the guy. He really might be linebacker one this year. Out of all the linebackers that we have on the roster, Oren Burks was drafted the earliest in the third round. His 40 time was pretty good. He had a, where did it go? I literally just had this up. There we go. He had a 4.59 40 time, which for a linebacker is not half bad. Ty Summers was up there as well. He had a 4.51, so he's actually our fastest linebacker. Devondre Campbell had a 4.58. So those three guys are pretty speedy. I said Ty Summers. Chris Barnes, actually, I'm not going to get to Chris Barnes just yet. I want to save that. Kamal Martin ran a 4.82. He's pretty slow. Chris Barnes ran a 4.79. He's actually faster than Kamal Martin. Bet you weren't expecting that. I sure wasn't. I didn't think that Kamal was going to be that slow. And the Packers actually, it sounds like, don't agree with his 40 time. Sounds like the Packers, let's see, according to, so Packers scout Brandian Ross pointed out that Kamal actually never ran an official 40-yard dash at the combine because of his knee surgery. However, he had a 4.82 from, I guess, earlier in his college career. Maybe this was at a pro day, I'm not sure. And Ross says that the Packers had him as a high 4.5, low 4.6 guy, which is about in line with Ty Summers, Oren Burks, and Devondre Campbell. Any way you slice it, though, Chris Barnes sticks out like a sore thumb. He's just slow. It is worth noting that Ty Summers at the Packers mandatory minicamp was back in the fray again, leading the offense. He was taking second linebacker snaps behind Chris Barnes, but you know, he kind of came out of nowhere there. I think Ty Summers, for me at least, is always an afterthought. Like, he got Chris Barnes and Kamal Martin. We obviously talked a lot about Christian Kirksey, and Devondre Campbell is supposed to be like the new Christian Kirksey. And then Oren Burks is this constant eyesore on special teams. I like what he does on defense better than I like what he does on special teams, if you can believe it. And Ty Summers is always this afterthought for me. He has, for the last couple of years, been kind of a big star in the preseason and then just doesn't get a lot of playing time during the regular season. But you got to remember that is under Mike Pettine, and Joe Barry is a linebacker's coach. So the guy is, I'm sure, going to make different decisions than Mike Pettine would. He's going to be more interested in all of his linebackers, take the position more seriously. As I was saying, Oren Burks is a third-round pick. Devondre Campbell is a fourth-round pick. Kamal Martin is a fifth-round pick. Ty Summers is a seventh-round pick, and Chris Barnes was undrafted. And with the exception of Oren Burks, I think that that's kind of, for the most part, the order you would have to rank these guys when it comes to the sort of newer style of linebacker that we're expecting Joe Barry's more Tampa 2 style of defense to be looking for. Now, this is not just Tampa 2. It is also heavily influenced, allegedly. Again, we have not seen Joe Barry coach a defense in like 10 years. Allegedly, he's a disciple of the Vic Fangio tree. Again, you got those sideline to sideline linebackers that are a big part of that, making that defense work. And this is something Coach Hahn was on the show, and he was on the Daily Cheese, and I asked him about what we could expect to be changing. And he mentioned that our outside zone run defense might really suffer because of exactly this. This style of defense really relies on those linebackers to be the guys getting the job done there. And obviously, those middle linebackers are a major liability for the Packers, at least historically. And we didn't really bring anybody in except for Isaiah McDuffie and Devondre Campbell. I do need to take an ad break right now. Probably should have taken one earlier, but whatever. We'll just do a couple of breaks that are kind of closer together here, and I'll be right back.
We all have smartphones, and we all know they're pretty amazing, but they also can be amazingly distracting, especially when we're around other people. So U.S. Cellular wants us to reset our relationship with our phones by putting down our phones for five. That's right, a company that sells phones wants us to put down our phones. And to see what we find, learn more at uscellular.com/built for us.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
So we've kind of gotten the most information about what the defense is looking like so far from Adrian Amos, who... If you've never watched an Adrian Amos press conference, he doesn't say a lot usually. He's kind of a laconic guy. But he was praising Joe Barry's system, saying that there's some similarities, but he said there's different terminology and different concepts. He said that this excited me. I feel like it's going to translate well onto the field. It's not that big of a transition. I know for me personally, I'm familiar with a lot of the things that he does, and there's a lot of carryover between what we did last year and this year, but there may be some differences in how plays are called or certain concepts and things like that. At the end of the day, football is still football. I think we should definitely be expecting to see a step back on defense to start the season. Sounds like everybody is kind of struggling a bit to learn the new terminology. They're trying to keep stuff as similar as possible to last year, but Kenny Clark highlighted that a lot of the terminology has changed. He said that the coaches keep trying to explain, okay, this is what we did last year, and we're just calling that same thing this year. Which you're going to get a bit of every year because they do have to reinvent the scheme a bit and use some different terminology so that opposing offenses can't just read exactly what you're trying to do. But something Kenny pointed out, which is fantastic, and it's something that I was excited about really early on, other than swapping out Mike Pettine for Joe Barry, every single position coach is the same. So you got all the same coaches you're familiar with who have a history with you. Jerry Montgomery is continuing to work with Kenny Clark, has been for years, and they're all caught up to speed on the new terminology, and they're helping to explain it to the players, and they're players that they're very familiar with. Kenny said the defense is still able to already be building off of concepts that they were working on last year and taking those to the next step. That's great. Sounds like Kenny is a big fan of the scheme and the new stuff that they're doing, which to me would suggest that it probably is a more aggressive front. You know, the front four, which would be great. Would love to have that happen. Kenny and Preston both slimmed up. They lost a lot of weight over the past year. And who was it? Was it Mike Smith, I think, was the guy who pointed out that the Packers as an organization do think that a big part of Preston's struggles last year had to do with him being overweight. He's very skinny now, and so is Kenny Clark. Kenny does not look like a defensive tackle right now. He looks like a D-end. Dude is skinny. I mean, he's still got like muscles for days, but in terms of, I mean, the dude does not have a gut right now. I would really like to see Kenny's pass rush improve again this year and get back to where he was a couple years ago. Which reminds me, and I guess I don't expect you to see the jump in logic that my brain just made here, but another part of that Tampa 2 defense is that tackling is a big deal. All right, so you kind of have a little bit more of a scheme where guys are out on an island. So you got, you know, the linebacker or you know, your defensive lineman. They don't have as much help from their teammates. It's more of a spread out offense or defense. And that first tackle has to be really good. From what we've heard out of minicamp, tackling has been a big emphasis. What in the world is the name of our linebackers coach? Always slips my mind. Olivadotti, I think. Yeah, Kirk Olivadotti. I didn't look it up. I just remembered it. He, in particular, has been harping on tackling being a big deal, which I'll believe it when I see it. It is something you kind of hear every year, but I did appreciate hearing Olivadotti talking about how frustrated he was watching the tackling last year, which was a big, big issue for the defense. And it sounds like something that Joe Barry is emphasizing, because if you can't tackle well, the defense is just not going to work. If you can tackle well, and if you got linebackers that can get out to the edge quickly and seal that off and shut down those outside zone runs, this is a very lethal defense. And we should know, because the Chicago Bears have been running it against us for quite a while. This is exactly the defense that we were scared of under Vic Fangio, and we celebrated when he left the division. This is what Matt LaFleur has attempted to bring to Green Bay. But you really need that elite talent in order to make this happen. When Joe Barry was the defensive coordinator in Detroit and in Washington, he had like no talented players at all. I believe he did work with Will Blackman, and that would have been in Detroit. Is that right? No, Washington. This was the tail end of Blackman's career in Washington. And he also in Washington had Preston Smith. Outside of those two guys, he had nobody on either of those teams who were like starter quality. Like their best players would have been about Chris Barnes' level of talent. And you had horrific defenses. I mean, these were like routinely the worst defenses in the league. The Lions finished dead last both years that Joe Barry was the defensive coordinator. Which included the year that the team went 0-16. And Washington finished 28 in total defense both those years. They did rank number 17 in scoring defense in the 2015 season, but in total defense, they were 28th. That is a picture of how bad it can be when you don't have elite players. I am not scared of that this year. We have elite players at pretty much every level. Definitely the biggest weakness there would be the linebackers, but he is a linebackers coach, so that's fantastic. He should be able to tell LaFleur and Gutekunst by looking at his guys in practice and seeing what they're made of, whether they can execute what he needs. And if not, that's on him to correct that. Sounds like that probably is why they brought in Devondre Campbell. You know, we had the reports that Chris Barnes and Ty Summers were taking turns at that linebacker one spot for a few days. A week probably before they went out and got Devondre. So those guys had opportunities to win the jobs. And it really sounds, as far as I can tell, it looks like Devondre is probably going to be linebacker one. All right, I'm going to take our second ad break. I know that the two breaks are pretty close together, but that's because I took the first one so late. This is about where I should be taking the second one anyways. So I'll be right back, and I got a couple more defensive things to take a look at.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
So I want to ask a question about the front four of the Packers and of the Rams. The Rams have very seldomly been without Aaron Donald in the last couple of years, certainly under Brandon Staley. He pretty much always had Aaron Donald, with the exception of the game against the Packers in the playoffs when Donald was hurt pretty badly after, what was it, tripping over Russell Wilson. and he like tore his stomach muscles or something. I don't remember what it was, partly because they didn't actually tell us for sure what happened and we were just kind of guessing. But a big part of the question is how much of the Rams' success on defense was a result of Aaron Donald. Well, the Packers exploited that defense pretty effectively when Donald was not at 100% there. So it's a pretty fair question to ask, is that a massive part of why that defense was able to work? And who do the Packers have on their own D-line who could ascend to Aaron Donald levels of success? Well, there's only two options. That would be Kenny Clark and Za'Darius Smith. We know that Za'Darius was used, what did they call him, a rover? They called him a rover under Mike Pettine. They used him a lot where he would just kind of float around. He didn't really have an assigned spot. He'd walk back and forth, and a lot of the time he would end up in the middle of the defensive line. That's something to note about Za'Darius. He's actually one of the smallest guys on the defensive line, which might be surprising to you, but let me read off the weights of everybody else. Kenny Clark, 314. TJ Slayton, 330. As far as I know, these are the up-to-date weights after Kenny Clark and Preston lost weight. So it's going to be 314 for Kenny, TJ's 330, Dean Lowry, 296, Za'Darius, 272, Preston, 265, he lost a lot of weight, Rashawn Gary, 277. So those linebackers obviously are a lot lighter than the D lineman. That's not a surprise, but even when we're looking at height, it kind of comes into play too. Now, Kenny Clark is the shortest guy, but he's also the second heaviest. So he's 6'3". TJ Slayton is 6'4". Dean Lowry is 6'6". Rashawn is 6'5". Preston 6'5". Za'Darius is 6'4". When you look at the combination of his height and weight, he is the smallest guy there. So when it comes to some of the looks that they might be going up against, Za'Darius is a little bit of a disadvantageous matchup. Worth noting, by the way, Matt LaFleur came away from that game so impressed with the Rams' defense, even with Aaron Donald being pretty much absent, that he tried to poach two of their guys for his next defensive coordinator. There was Ejiro Evero was the defensive backs coach, and then Joe Barry was their linebacker coach. And it's worth noting that the Rams do not prioritize traditional linebackers in the draft either. They kind of go for hybrid players. They, as far as I can think of, they never used any top 100 picks on linebackers. But they did use their safeties, Taylor Rapp and John Johnson, very similar to linebackers, which it sounds like, by the way, we're going to see some of that from Adrian Amos. They've already been putting him in the box in minicamp. In years past, we had another guy who I think would have been a perfect fit here, but he would have been a perfect fit in the Mike Pettine defense as well. And he never played for Mike Pettine for the same reason that he is no longer on the team. And that is, of course, Raven Green. But first, you do need that front four to be able to get pressure. If you're having to take your linebackers or your safeties and bring them in on blitzes, it makes the overall philosophy of the defense, which is rush four and drop seven, a lot less effective. Now, there's another idea that I have, and I don't think the Packers are really considering this. We haven't heard boo about it. But Rashawn Gary did play a substantial amount of his snaps at Michigan along the D-line. He was primarily a defensive end. I believe his sophomore and junior years, he was just listed as a D-lineman, and he would occasionally play tackle. I've never understood the move to outside linebacker for Gary. I would kind of rather see him play more hand in the dirt. But you also got to remember that the way that the Packers traditionally use their outside linebackers is just as edge rushers. Za'Darius, Preston, and Rashawn are all going to be part of that front four. The difference we're talking about here is whether they're playing stand-up football or hand in the dirt. But you are going to have, next to Kenny Clark, you're always going to have probably Dean Lowry, probably Kingsley Keke, or maybe you'll see TJ Slayton get worked in there. I think he's definitely going to be buried behind Kingsley Keke and Dean Lowry. Usually you got Kenny Clark just soaking up the interior of that defensive line. You got your DNs there helping him out. You got the outside linebackers coming in. This is usually what primarily comprises your front four in Green Bay. I don't expect that to be any different here. The Packers really don't like to go big and heavy with two D tackles too much, except for in those obvious run situations, which there's just not a lot of obvious run situations outside of the NFC Championship game, where it just didn't seem to matter what defense they ran. You know, they put their base defense out there and they still were not slowing down the 49ers on the ground. Same thing with Dalvin Cook and Alvin Kamara last year. Overall, a big reason why you don't see large changes coming from the hiring of Joe Barry is because they hired the guy who already really perfectly fit what they were already doing. The defense that they were trying to build for Mike Pettine is very, very similar, especially player-wise, talent-wise, to the defense that Joe Barry wants in terms of those players. And even when it comes to those speedy linebackers, look, this is still how the Packers have always been drafting anyways. That's always been, if you don't know that that Brian Gutekunst and the rest of the scouts really heavily prioritize athleticism, then you have not been paying attention to the draft in Green Bay. I do definitely want to dispel, and I think for the most part, listeners of this podcast are already aware of this, but I want to just, since we're talking about it, dispel the myth that this is going to be a more zone-heavy defense. I don't think that's the case at all, partly because the Packers were already incredibly zone-heavy, despite what we kind of thought anecdotally, that it was a very man-heavy defense. That was not the case. Does seem, if we're going to be imitating what LA did, last year they would frequently have Jalen Ramsey in man coverage and the rest of the defense was playing zone. This is a concept that Coach Hahn has talked about, and he has already said he thinks that the Packers are probably going to adopt more of that. On the whole, the Rams played a lot of zone, and I think that really is where, I mean, they were one of the most zone-heavy defenses in the league, and I think that is where the perception has come from, that the new Packers defense is going to be more zone-heavy. But there's a lot that goes into it beyond just man and zone. I mean, you got to look at the coverages they were calling. So the Rams last year played cover three the most of any coverage. They played more cover four football than anybody else in the league. They mixed up cover one and cover six, like, over and over and over again. So although they were 80-20 zone man, they were one of the most diverse defenses in the league. On third downs, they tended to bring those five-man pressures pretty consistently. They were looking to create one-on-one matchups rather than just the overload blitzes or the double A-gap blitzes. So I think on third down, look to see Jair or Adrian Amos being used kind of surprisingly in on those blitzes. And, you know, as much as we know that the Packers offense really likes to disguise what they're doing pre-snap, this defense is going to do the same thing. But I do think the thing I'm most excited about with this defense is seeing them get the job done with these mediocre linebackers, because the Rams don't have good linebackers either, and it didn't hold them back. If you look at where they ranked defensively and where they ranked in terms of the packages they played, for example, you look at running a light box, the Rams were the most, they ran the most light boxes of the year. They were like over 80%, and the Broncos were the second most. Why do we care about the Broncos? Well, because that is where Vic Fangio went after leaving the Bears. The Bears and Broncos have always had very competent linebackers. The Rams do not have a did not have a competent linebacker last year, and it didn't hurt them at all. So you're taking their linebacker coach and bringing him to Green Bay, and the hope is he's going to get the job done with the linebackers that we have. They did it in LA. They played a bunch of sub packages. They still stopped the run very effectively. No question that the defensive line needs to step up. I think you look at their evolution over the last couple of years has been kind of wonky. Petton's first year, the D-line was pretty stout, and it has just kind of gone backwards each year. A lot of that seems to have correlated with Kenny Clark specifically and the quality of his play, so you'd like to see him take a step forward again. And from that quote I read earlier, it's nice to see that he is excited about what this new defensive scheme looks like and the new wrinkles that they are adding in, the new concepts. That paired with him losing weight, I mean, not that you ever really want to hear that your defensive tackle is losing weight, but how often do you hear that guys come in, you know, and you hear, oh yeah, he's put on some extra muscle or he's put on a little bit of weight and then ended up playing even as good as he previously did, let alone better. It just doesn't happen. Aaron Jones, the year that he slimmed down in 2019, lost all of his extra little bit of weight. He exploded onto the scene with, 19 touchdowns. Yes, I did just compare running back to defensive tackle. Shut up. Look, I'm looking for reasons to be optimistic, and I think there are plenty of them. I think maybe the biggest reason to be excited is that we already had a very talented defensive roster, and they were not bought in anymore to what Petten was doing. It was very evident. We heard all last year about the displeasure that the players had with Petten. Barry is a player's coach. He also comes in with a clean slate. Sounds like the players really like him and are hyped up on what he is bringing into the room this year. That in and of itself could be the biggest difference. Plus, if Joe Barry is a slightly better situational play caller than Mike Petten, I think that right there is also another thing that can elevate this defense to the next level. And it was actually a very good defense last year. The problem last year was not that the defense was bad. They were a top 10 defense. The problem was they were underperforming for the amount of talent that they had. So the hope here is that Joe Barry is not squandering the talent that we have, that he is calling better plays, that the players are more bought in, that he is running things that are better suited to those players. I do expect it to be a slow and maybe rocky start to the season. Remember, we're opening against the New Orleans Saints. Kamara gave us one of our worst showings last year in week 3. I would expect him to probably break out in week 1. Not that you weren't already going to try to, but go ahead and pick up Alvin Kamara in fantasy and play him in week 1 if you can get him. but I would expect the defense, at least by the halfway point in the season, to have really kind of found their identity, found their groove, and really, really be clicking. And a big part of what makes the defense work is guys working in tandem together, being on the same page. That's just going to come with time. So if they come out in week 1, week 2, week 3 even, and they look like garbage, just don't be busting out the Fire Joe Barry signs and the firejoeberry.com and all that just yet. Give it some time. These growing pains are to be expected. All right, I'm going to wrap it up and head out of here. You all have a fantastic Monday, and I will talk to you all soon. Bye-bye.